Welcome to Chai with Sam Dosa. I'm your host, and my podcast called Chai with Sam Dosa has a heart-centered conversation with global leaders or also anybody who is sharing that heart-centered conversation with me. I have been blessed with so many amazing guests on my podcast, which is available on iTunes, Spotify, and other major podcast platforms. You can dive in and listen to some amazing conversation I had with some amazing individuals. Today, I have Dave Jarwin from Utah, America, USA. Let me give you a snippet of Dave, what he does. Has a great insight about Dave is a host and author. Dave is a certified fitness and nutritionist coach, entrepreneur, and practitioner of mindfulness and meditation. His passion is helping grown-ups navigate real-world business and life challenges to achieve their best health and wellness at any age. He's also the creator and host of the Robbie Health Show, which covers health and wellness, including the latest in nutrition, exercise, supplements, and clinical studies. So let's welcome my guest, Dave Sherman. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. It's all mine. So before we dive into your seven principles of health, let me ask you this question. So tell us, my audience, who Dave is and what's his purpose in life?
Wow. Well, I am just a guy like anyone else who, except for people, I guess, who wouldn't define themselves as a guy, but I suppose the only thing that makes me different than anyone else on the planet is my interests and passions, right? So I'm a family guy. I have five grandchildren, which is probably the thing that brings me some of the greatest joy right now. So to talk about myself out of context of my family would probably not make any sense. I'm all about family. I've got a cute little dog who's actually sitting beside me. You may hear her during the podcast. But my wife, my children, my grandchildren, and that's where I get most of my joy and happiness from. And then I'm passionate about life, about living an abundant life, which for me starts with the mind and the body. And that's probably why I'm so passionate about health and fitness, because without good health and fitness, nothing else in life can be enjoyed to the full. So those are some top of mind thoughts on that massive question that you started me out with.
We still have to dive into a couple of other things, but tell us about this. When a lot of people talk about several hundred principles, why you have chosen only seven principles of health? What is that seven resonate with you? Because there are seven things. If I dive into religion, where people say seven heavens, seven layer of things going on in our journey, why did you select number seven?
It's really a great question, because it does matter. Not only is the number seven significant in many areas, but there's a lot of science behind it. The great business philosopher Stephen Covey, who's passed away now, but wrote the best-selling personal development book of all time, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Yeah. And he named that book Seven Habits of Highly Effective People for a very specific reason. It was based on science. And even in the book, he talks about the fact that as human beings, we are not good at handling anything above the number seven in any particular area of our life. And that's about the most things that we can hold at any one time. He argues that we should never, if we were to write down the important roles in our life, like I've already mentioned a couple on this podcast, if we were all of us to make a list of what are the most important roles you have to fulfill in your life, he argued that if you have more than seven, you have to cut one. And so, frankly, that's really where I got it from. And that really resonated with me and it worked for me. And in health, you've got experts out there who talk about hundreds of principles and you got to do this and you got to do that. And everything is so important. But if there's 100 really important things, guess what? No one can even remember them, let alone do them. And so that's why I went with seven.
Excellent. So let's start with the principle number one, because I think as we are going to dive into those seven principles, we have to connect them to some sort of episode which happens during your life or my life, which will make this more interesting to have a conversation. So what's the first principle of your
Well, it's a great question. The first one should be air. Without air, we're dead in minutes, right? And so air really is critical. The problem is that we all breathe. We breathe naturally. We could have a long discussion about breathing. But as far as an actual area of fitness that most people need to work on, the number one I chose was water, which is number two. And we, generally speaking, in Western society, are chronically dehydrated. We don't realize it. We don't necessarily feel it. But I'm telling you, Sam, it's amazing. The difference between being 3% dehydrated and being fully hydrated could be the reason why you have brain fog and lose your keys for 15 minutes before you find them in your purse or your pocket.
True.
Right? It's mental. It's physical. And the vast majority of people do not drink enough water. And that's where I start with people. People want to talk about weight loss. They want to talk about fitness. They want to talk about achieving their goals. You're not going to get anywhere on any of it unless you are fully hydrated. And so that's number one.
Wow. So water. Don't we think ourselves that we are 70% water ourselves? And water is the most nutritious thing which is available for free. But even though you're going for Evian or any other brand, it's still water. Yeah. So do you think that people should be drinking tap water or bottled water?
That is such an excellent question. Because what happens is I'm a huge fan of the middle way in almost everything in my life. And what I find is there are people who are, you know, they won't drink water unless it's purified water. Some people won't drink water that doesn't come from their $5,000 machine on the countertop. And the fact is, our body is really, really good at cleansing itself. Especially if you follow the seven things I'm talking about, you can drink water that's of lower quality, and it's better than not drinking water by far. I'll have this debate with any health coach on the planet. I do consider myself a water snob. Don't get me wrong. I like to drink the best quality water I can get. But if I'm at someone's house and they offer me water from the tap and I'm thirsty, there is no doubt in my mind, it is much better to drink that water than to go thirsty. And all of my experience, all my study, all my health certification verifies this information. So I would suggest to your listeners that it's fine to be a water snob. I consider myself that way. I love good, clean, purified water. But if you think that you can't drink water unless it's distilled, unless it's some special, you know, alkalinity, you're off the deep end a little bit. Come on back and stick with the basics. Carry your bottle around. Drink half your body weight in ounces per day, excluding what you drank during exercise. You should be drinking during exercise, of course, but outside of that period of time, if you weigh 150 pounds, drink 75 ounces of water. If you weigh 200 pounds, 100 ounces, half your body weight in ounces per day. And if you do that, you will instantly increase your health, have better metabolism, start sleeping better. It's even a weight loss principle for many people, because Sam, the problem isn't just that people don't drink enough water. They drink too much of the wrong things. So this is a two-part principle. Part one is get enough water. Part two is stop drinking calories. Those two things go together. People drink themselves to be overweight half the time. There's many, many people listening to this podcast that are frustrated. They want to lose a few pounds. And they don't realize that if all they did is substitute water for everything else they drink, they would reach their goal. Many people would do that.
But again, this is, again, it's about educating people. Today, I was talking to this lady after my TV interview. And she says, Sam, I'm on a juice diet right now. And I says, okay, that's perfectly fine. But water consumption is also important because, oh, I have sleep deprivation because I don't sleep enough. Well, she is going through with, again, listening to a lot of people, a lot of information is coming in. And what suits you better, you just follow it through. Because you are listening to so many people sending you so many information. And it says, oh, Sam has said this, now I'm going to follow this through. Did you ask question? Are you asking question enough to understand why it's important? Is your body is going to recuperate what you are taking in? You are already overweight. You are 300 pounds and you are on juice diet right now. So your body is already thinking, well, I used to have so much food coming in and now I'm already on juice diet. My body started to get mesmerized. What's going on? So there will be a bigger shock coming into the body instead of you doing everything slowly and following through with your nutritionist. Instead of you say, you know what? Somebody says something to me, I'm going to get this information or this juices, I start doing it myself.
Yeah, the problem is that as human beings, we tend to yo-yo back and forth. Yo-yo diets, we yo-yo in our work. There's times we get really excited about something and we're all in. And then 6 weeks later, we're really excited about something else. Part of the key to what I'm talking to people about and people that I coach is to try to get them to stop being excited about the big thing and get excited about the little thing long-term. And that is harder to do. It's the power of the slight edge, small and simple things, one step at a time. And it's not sexy. That's the problem. In health, the sexy thing with a buzzword, keto, paleo, yes. Give it a name.
Vegan.
And let it run its course for a while. And people get so excited about it. And yet, if you talk to them about the seven principles I'm talking about and say, just do this long term, it'll work just fine all the time, every time. It's kind of boring. And what people have to wrap their head around is if they could walk beside a very fit person for a long period of time, they will see that it is boring. It is boring to have very good health and be at your ideal body weight. It's just a boring set of habits you follow over and over and over. So that's part of the challenge is there's no sizzle. There's no shiny object here. There's just seven simple things. Follow them daily. You'll reach your goals. Sounds boring, but it absolutely works. And sometimes, unfortunately, people don't want boring. And so that's part of the challenge.
I think it's the conditioning of our brain, the condition of our mind, because we see so many ads coming in and people are sharing their stories and how I did with the keto diet, how I did it with the other sort of diets available in the market. And I'm rejuvenating my body and rejuvenating. So all there has been fictitiously given to a lot of people with this information. And when you're talking about those seven simple habits, and says, oh, simple habits? No, I don't want to go with those simple habits. I just rather be rigorous watching those things, putting extra pressure on myself.
Yeah.
To look good. Yeah, they will achieve that result. No doubt about that. But that's not a long term result. That's a short term result. After 6 months, they're going to back into the same treadmill, going to the same cycle again. Again, going to the same supplement of 400, 600 pounds, whatever they spent that money before, and they will start again. So we have been conditioned everywhere. There is subliminal language coming in on our screens all the time when we are on the Facebook. Mistakenly, you click on that ad and you will see that ad is following you wherever you go. whether on Amazon, whether on Google, whether or even on your Instagram, that ad will come to you and say, you know,
I'm a business guy. I do it. I'm guilty. Retargeting. I totally understand it. And everything you're saying is absolutely true. The only difference in the marketing I do in my business is we are selling these principles. We're selling a package that's easy, that's simple to do. And frankly, we're not really selling it. These seven principles, we just give away. I give away the book on my website. I get on as many podcasts as I can. I've got nothing for sale in terms of dietary success. And that's maybe part of the problem too. Some people feel fulfillment when they buy a big package. They feel like if they pay $2,000 for that diet, it's more likely to work. Again, yes, I understand. Those are the things that we're trying to combat as coaches.
Second principle.
Second principle is eat all your food slowly and mindfully. Now, interestingly, Sam, people don't believe this, but I'm telling you, this does not come just from Dave Sherwin. My health certification is with Precision Nutrition, which most people consider the gold standard of fitness and nutrition coaching on the planet. And there's a lot of history there, and the PhD scientists behind this are incredible. It's very difficult to get. This is not some weekend thing. You can go and get a health certification, which, by the way, for your listeners, they may not understand, just because someone has initials behind their name, doesn't mean that they're expert. So I'm a huge fan of Precision Nutrition. It's why I took that coaching. And I was shocked, literally. I've been in health and wellness a very long time. But as a coach, when they taught us that how you eat and when you eat is more important than what you eat, I couldn't believe my ears. But it's true. No one talks about it. Everyone talks about what to eat. I talk a lot about when to eat and how to eat. So let me explain it to you. It's, again, dead simple. Doesn't cost any money. Everyone listening can do this the next time they put anything in their mouth. I don't care whether the next thing they put in their mouth is vegetables or protein or junk food. I kind of care, but you'll see my point in a minute. Whatever you eat, eat it very, very slowly and mindfully. What happens is we have enzymes in our mouth that are the beginning of our digestive system. We need to chew the food thoroughly to get those enzymes worked into the food. Secondarily, a lot of people think that their stomach, especially from infographics we see of the body, when we see simple descriptions of the body, we see the stomach, it looks like a hole at the bottom of our throat that's ready for food to drop in it. But of course, it's not like that. The stomach is full of folds, and there's more enzymes and digestive, I wanted to say juices, but that's not the right word. More digestive enzymes and processes going on in the stomach that need to be done slowly. The food is worked through folds in the stomach as it's broken down and digested. And the other problem that we know from science is that our hormonal system that triggers the brain that the stomach is full is slow. And we don't feel satiation until well after we are satiated, as much as 20 minutes. So when we chew our food thoroughly and then take time between bites, we're doing ourselves a favor on many levels. First of all, we're getting the most out of our food. Secondly, we feel satiated sooner, so we're more likely to eat less food. And so this is a natural weight loss principle. Thirdly, food is supposed to be one of the great pleasures of life. We eat food, for most of us, every single day. We love eating food. We look forward to going to the kitchen, and it should be a pleasurable experience. We eat with people that we love. And eating slowly and mindfully with people that we love, with ideally food that we prepared with love, and then eating it slowly and mindfully, putting our utensils down between bites, and enjoying either eating alone carefully and slowly or eating with other people mindfully, is that a more important habit than eating the right foods, believe it or not. And that's number two.
A lot of things which you have added over here is not only scientifically proven, it's also been said into so many religious books as well. that food has been given to you, so appreciate it and enjoy it. And every ingredient contains some sort of a blessing in it. And, you know, gorging food is a matter of fast forwarding. You can say, oh, fast food needs to be prepared in 5 minutes. So it's called fast food. And it's not about gorging food. It's about enjoying, as you said, enjoying the food. Every bite should be chewed 32 times. So your digest, your food goes in a really good order. When it goes in there, then it will be, as it goes into a cycle of processing inside your tummy and everything. And as you said, your tummy gets the signal to your brain and says, it's enough now. Don't eat more. And it's again the education. It's again, we teach our children, take your time, relax, enjoy. But because, as again, we see so many things subliminally coming in from right, left, and every channels, and we just, grab your burger and run and eat. I brought up in a country where we used to sit down with our parents, we used to sit down on the floor, used to be served, we used to eat together. But then you come in this country where people are holding burgers in their hand and jumping on the bus or the train station or whatever, they have this hamper and just running and eating food, walking and eating food. You are killing. And I had some work done in the house and I called those contractors coming in and said, would you like something to drink? Oh, no, we start our day with the Red Bull. Empty stomach with Red Bull. And black coffee. Wow, what a combination. You are already killing me. You are already halving. You are already doing not justice to your body. And your body organs are running 10 times faster than supposed to run on the speed. What you're doing, you're aging your body 10 times faster. So when you reach to that age, your organs start to say, thank you very much. We don't have any capacity to run. And you are putting Red Bull on your system.
And I and the word mindfully, right? I'm talking about eating slowly and mindfully. Now, I am not a spiritual leader or a meditation coach. I am a practitioner of mindfulness and meditation. And I have a daily practice 5 years now. And I've been to meditation retreats, which have really changed my life. And if I could wave a magic wand, I'd be teaching all my clients to start meditating. I found, again, back to the seven things, it's too much. And some people just aren't going to do it. And I'm trying to stick to those things that people will do. But for some people listening to this, the higher law of this is to do everything in your life slowly and mindfully, within reason. Of course, if you're in a running race, run fast. But when you're training, train mindfully, do everything mindfully. We have such a bad habit. How about back to the table? How about if you're sitting there with people you love and you're looking at your phone, right? Now you're distracted from both the food and the people that you're supposed to be spending the time with, right? So ideally, we ought to all be doing everything slowly and mindfully. We talk about multitasking. There's no such thing as multitasking. There's only task switching. You can do this haphazardly, then you can do that. Then you can do this and back to this. Well, that's a recipe for doing everything in a shoddy way in your whole life. If you actually can do everything mindfully from morning till night, from walking the dog to meditation, to the way you eat, to your exercise. How about exercise? We'll get to that one in a minute. But again, right now, I'm not going to the gym, but when I was going to the gym, I could not believe how many people were distracted by their phones the entire time. Very few people can complete an entire exercise routine completely mindfully. They don't warm up mindfully. They don't do their main set mindfully. And then half the time they look at their watch, and because they're not living mindfully, they're always in a hurry. There's always something they feel like, oh, I got to get on the next thing. I won't cool down this time. I'll do that next time, because they don't think it's that important. So really, this is a bigger item than just eating slowly and mindfully. But again, I can't spend more than the time I've already spent on it. As far as I'm a fitness coach, I got to stay in my lane, but I do mention it that, hey, yeah, eat your food slowly and mindfully, but how about at least thinking about doing everything in your life slowly and mindfully?
It's not only you are saying that, it's been told by Rumi, the great Sufi poet. And he said to saying that prayers, you do prayers, is not about an act of if you are doing five time prayers, or if you are sitting in the church, if you're sitting in the synagogue, if you're sitting in the temple. Be present in that moment. Because if you are mindfully not present in that moment and doing your prayers, that's not your prayers. You are just doing it that everybody is watching you, that you are doing the exercise or you're doing the actions and everything. But you are not doing prayers. You are just doing that actions. But if you want to sit in a proper way of fulfilling the prayers, then you sit in the congruence of that moment and be mindful about it that you are praying. And that's what is count as being present. And that's not new thing, but we are living in a society which is going like 200 miles per hour, or nowadays it's 200 miles per minute. And we are just trying to catch up on it. It's like firefighting everywhere.
And the illusion of it is that we think if we can get that massive to-do list done, that we'll be successful overall in our life. And it's a lie. We're better off, back to what I said earlier, to cut out many of the things in our life that we're doing because we're wasting our time on them. Focus on the things that are most important, do them slowly and mindfully, and we'll be much more successful in every area of our life. But I'm just trying to get people to eat slowly and mindfully for right now.
Yeah, true. So yeah. Your next principle.
The next principle is simple fasting or intermittent fasting. Again, I think it might be interesting to people that we haven't gotten even to the foods that you eat yet. We're still talking about how to eat. So once we're eating slowly and mindfully, the next principle is that our body is not designed to eat from the second we get up till midnight. Our ancestors didn't grow up with refrigerators that they could have a midnight snack from. Our body is not designed to do that. It's not good for it. The way our body actually works is that when we wake up in the morning, if we've had a good night's sleep, in men and women, our testosterone is elevated. In women, more estrogen is elevated. In both men and women, HGH, human growth hormone, is elevated, and our blood sugar is very low. The ideal state for exercise, for meditation, for planning our day. Our brain is its sharpest first thing in the morning. Here's the thing. That hormonal state lasts until we eat the first meal. A lot of people don't understand that. If you can wake up and do your meditation and your exercise before you eat any food. Now drink water, of course, we already talked about that. Drink water the first thing. If you've been 8 hours without it, take a large drink of water to get yourself started, but then wait a while. Now, what I recommend for men is to have an eating window that's anywhere from 6 to 8 hours. For women, that eating window should never be shorter than 10 hours. This may be news to some people who are familiar with intermittent fasting, but most of the research on intermittent fasting was done on men. Only recently has good research been done on women. Men have a 24-hour hormonal cycle. Women have a 28 to 31-day hormonal cycle. And we know that that gets disrupted through poor eating windows. So pick an eating window. For me, I eat my first meal anywhere between 10 o'clock and noon, depending on how I feel. And I eat my last meal at 6 o'clock. Now that leaves for me, I generally have a 16 to 18 hour fasting window. Now, when I say fast, it's not a zero tolerance. It's not like I'm not putting anything in my body during that time. I take supplements. During that time, I drink a lot of water. Sometimes I will also take an electrolyte and green powder drink. Those things, low calorie, below 50 calories per thing. That's kind of a key right there. But what I'll tell you about this, everyone's heard of intermittent fasting. I'm probably not introducing you or anyone listening to anything new here. But as a health coach, I will tell you this. The main key is one that a lot of people overlook. And that is what you're not eating after 6 p.m. No one craves broccoli at 9 o'clock at night. Nobody. When you commit to a fasting window, even if you're not ready to accept a full intermittent fasting that I'm describing here, if everyone listening would just stop eating after 6, 7 o'clock at the latest, they'd be amazed what happens in their health. I had one guest on my podcast, Kevin Rail, who's one of the world's leading experts on this. He's on that video fasting on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And he said, he claims that if everyone on the planet simply stopped eating any food after 7 p.m. at night, that 50% of the world's health problems would go away. How about that?
Yeah, it is. It is very true. You know that Vedas or Hinduism, they said, you know, your energy, and the fire energy, extinguishes after 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock. Because what you're going to do is, let's say, example, after you start eating at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, your body has to work faster. Your body has to work so much to digest that food because your fire energy is not there. So your body started to bring a lot of energy from different places to digest that food. So people who suffer with heartburn, people who suffer with gastric problem, people who suffer with a lot of other alignment within their body is because of not sticking to the right timings of food, not sticking to the right timing of the system. Universe that God has given us this whole 24 hours, but this has to be chunked out that when you're going to have your breakfast, okay, you start your breakfast at 6 o'clock in the morning, I understand you will be hungry by 12 noon, yeah? But as you said, there is a supplement. You can't starve your body. The more you starve your body, the more you become hungry and hungrier. So you can start gorging on food, you're jumping on food, instead of you can make your balance in the whole day. Yeah, my breakfast, as you must have heard of this saying that eat like a king when you wake up in the, as a breakfast, eat like a king and eat like a pauper when you're having lunch, but eat like a beggar when you are going to have your dinner. So that's has been saying is not a new thing. It's been said long time ago. And it's like, follow those things and you will be fulfilled. Your desire and what you are saying, intermittent fasting, is nothing new. It's nothing new. But again, it's knowledge.
It's knowledge. Yes, and everything you're saying, you know, it supports the hormonal system. It supports the circadian rhythm. It supports the way our body was designed to work. And if all people do is postpone that kingly breakfast a little bit and make sure you're not eating after six. Now, for those people that are listening and saying, well, you said this would be easy, that one sounds hard, I got a couple tips for you. First of all, you can implement this slowly and carefully and just work on it. Just putter away at it. Just try to make your fasting window a little longer and your eating window a little shorter. Focus on not eating after 6 o'clock. If you're unable to go all in on this principle and your primary interest in your health right now is weight loss, I do have good news. There's been some good research on intermittent fasting, and large clinical studies have found that the difference in health over time between those that do this principle 7 days a week and those that do it 5 days a week is negligible. So that's another thing you could try. Try it 5 days a week. Maybe on the weekends, you're going to go to a party and you're going to eat stuff at 7, 8, 9 o'clock. That won't kill you. I'll tell you what I do though, Sam. If I do cheat and I eat after dinner, I simply wait longer the next day. And I find it's not that hard to do. I often will simply wake up in the morning and go, hey, I had my last meal at 9 o'clock last night. I had treats at the party. And so I think I'll just wait till noon. I'll just skip breakfast. What's the big deal, right? So you can work your way into this one. So if it's sounding difficult to you, I would say work with the simple basic premise of it and try. If all, let's say you wake up starving, you have to eat first thing in the morning. Maybe that's it. Cause I hear that from a lot of people. Dave, I got to eat before I even exercise. I'm like, okay, let's let you keep doing that then, because again, I don't want to make anything hard that you're not going to do. How about if we work on a hard stop after dinner? Can we do that? You get to eat as soon as you wake up, but I don't want you to eat anything after 6 o'clock at night. Can we start there? A lot of people say yes. So understand all the different premises involved here and commit to the ones you can do.
Absolutely right. Spot on. Let's continue.
Okay, next is, now we get into the food. There's three macros. The main types of food that we eat can be broken down into protein, carb, and fat. Everybody knows this, but for the most part, modern society has evolved to where very many people are addicted to carbs and eat way too many carbs and way too many simple carbs. We don't get enough high quality protein, and we also get low quality and too much fat. Now, this is where it can be difficult for people. No one wants to count calories. No one wants to measure how much protein they're going to put on their plate. And so again, from my nutritional coaching at Precision Nutrition, they taught us to teach people the hand rule. The hand rule works because your hand is the right proportion to the rest of your body. If you're a large person, you have a large hand. If you're a small person, your hand is smaller. And if you look at your hand, the size of your palm is about how much protein you should get with each meal. For a smaller person, for example, if they're having breakfast, their protein and fat source could be eggs. And probably two eggs would be roughly this. It doesn't have to be, this does not have to be exact, Sam. This is just a rough eyeball thing, right? Mm-hmm. For many people, two eggs. A larger person, three eggs might be about the size of their palm. And again, that would get the fat as well. Mm-hmm. If you close your fist, that's about how much carbs you need. For many people, that might be two pieces of toast with breakfast. With dinner, it might be two medium potatoes. Again, just eyeball it. Hold your fist beside a potato. Maybe it's one large potato, right? But that's the size of the carbs. Fat's the size of your thumb. Again, this is a little trickier. We don't want to make it complex. If you're eating olive oil and balsamic vinegar, one of my favorite things in the whole world, don't have more than about the size of your thumb. For me, I've calculated that's about 2 tablespoons of oil, of a healthy oil, is the size of my thumb. And then if you hold out your hand like this in a cupping shape, and we're to fill that with vegetables, right? A handful of green leafy vegetables, a small salad. That's the fourth element. So you see, vegetables are a carb, but they don't provide energy, not much energy, very few carbs, right? So this is why we differentiate between the carbs, such as a sweet potato, and leafy vegetables, such as spinach, right? So as often as possible, design every single meal you have to have a balance of protein, carbs, fats, and low calorie vegetables. And that now is where we get into how to eat and how much to eat.
That's a great one. I would say continue, because I think that's the connected or conduit to the next principle.
Okay, excellent. The next one is to observe a simple supplement strategy. Now, a lot of people would say, well, if you're eating the way you just described and you're getting healthy protein, carbs, and fats and a lot of vegetables, you shouldn't need a supplement. Unfortunately, nutritional science tells us otherwise. We know, because we now have had so many labs open up that are doing nutritional blood panels. I do them myself. I try to do at least one a year. I don't know if you've ever had one done, Sam, but millions of people have had them done, and millions of people have been shocked. The funnest stories are the healthiest people. And they're like, oh, I'm going to show this lab. They're going to tell me how awesome I am. And my body's, I eat so well. This is going to be great. And they get it back and they're absolutely stunned, because they're low. They're deficient on minerals. They're deficient on vitamins. They're deficient on a lot of phyto and nutrients. And that's just a fact. And it's unfortunately because no matter how good you are at nutrition, there's some foods you're going to eat that contain preservatives that are going to affect your body. There are foods that are not grown very well. There's no one who eats perfectly every single day. And so supplements fill in the gaps. We need a good multivitamin. We need minerals. Now, on top of that, there's some really excellent supplements that modern science has provided for us that we may not need, but they make our life better. For example, this morning, my workout was a 1,000-meter race on my rowing machine, which I do occasionally to see where I'm at, right? So a 10 or 15-minute warm-up and then race 1,000 meters. Guess what? I took a pre-workout drink before that one. Why? Because I feel better. It wakes me up. I feel that energy. I like it. Do I need a pre-workout before I row a 1,000-meter race? No, but I like it. So this is something for everyone to just think about. But start with the basics, of course. A high-quality multi and a high-quality mineral are absolute must for everybody. From there, there's age and gender-specific supplements. For example, many women have been told by their doctor or health practitioner to take iron as a supplement. Some of the big ones people are deficient in, almost everyone's deficient in vitamin D, zinc, magnesium, calcium. Now, magnesium and calcium are interesting ones because I personally insist on getting them from my food. I don't believe in a supplement for those two things. And I don't want to get too much into this entire conversation, but those ones I get from my previous one. By the way, Sam, I got to back up a minute. As part of eating according to the hand rules, you do watch to make sure you get 5 to 9 servings of vegetables a day. If you get 5 to 9 servings of vegetables a day, which I am able to do that one, okay? I do that one every day. You'll get your calcium and your magnesium from the best possible sources, which is food. There's no doubt about that one in my mind. Mm-hmm. But you'll be short on some, and I've proven that through my blood work, okay? I've found that. But these other ones I'm talking about, D, zinc, chromium. I forgot to mention chromium. Our body does. One of the interesting things, Sam, about supplements is they're all very, very different from each other. The B vitamins. Mm-hmm. Did you know that you can take a month's worth of B vitamins today and your body will store it and dispense it over the next month?
No.
Yeah. It's a very unusual vitamin. Mm-hmm. But the opposite is true with chromium. Mm-hmm. Chromium is a critical micronutrient we need in our body, and our body can't make it or deal with it very well at all. If you don't eat it or take it in a supplement, you're deficient in it, and it'll affect, literally, it could be what's holding back your weight loss, your blood sugar management, and your cholesterol are all affected by chromium. Wow. So there's a variety of things that we are likely deficient in. There's some things we just want to take because they make us feel good. And there's other things that are gender specific, different for women at different times of their life as well. Same as for men. Some men are going to find they're pretty deficient in testosterone as they get older and have to make adjustments in their diet to keep their testosterone up. Both men and women are going to find it's very hard to keep their glutathione levels high as they get older. And glutathione levels fall naturally. But what science has found is if you boost them through supplementation, that goes right into your bloodstream and increases your immune system. And so again, in some ways, you know, I want to live as long and naturally as possible, but at the same time, I'm going to do what modern science shows. You know, if I can cheat the system a little bit here and there over nature, I'll do it, right? So this just gets back to whatever your goals are, what you're trying to achieve. I want to be as healthy as possible, as long as possible. If I'm alive and have great grandchildren, I think that'd be pretty cool if I'm healthy. See?
Health is your wealth. If you're not going to look after your health, your wealth is not going to do anything for you. You work hard for all your life and say, oh, I'm going to enjoy my life and I'm going to retire. Forget about it, because by the time you retire, you're going to be spending all your money and get recovering from that setback you have created for the life you have spent working. And that's that's the mindset a lot of people have. And when you talk about the deficiency of a lot of vitamins and also other supplements you need to have it, because it's important. Because I had so much pain in my bones, and I thought it might be because my father was diabetic. it could be related to that. And then I went for my blood test, and I said, can you do the entire string of blood tests, my thyroid, my vitamins, my blood sugar, and my this and my that? I said, yeah, we'll do it for you. And they came back to me and says, well, good sign is that you are not diabetic. I said, oh, thank God, I'm not diabetic. I said, yeah, but you don't have diabetes. Your thyroids are perfectly fine, Mr. Dosa. You are okay. But one thing we have noticed that your vitamin D is extremely low. Extremely, extremely, extremely low. And you must be suffering with bone aches and everything. I said, yeah, they are killing me. They're killing me. All right, yeah. And we're going to put you on 13-week of vitamin D, a very high boost. And once it's complete, then you continue for vitamin D for the rest of your life. And this is natural for Asian population to have a vitamin D deficiency in a high number. We are not getting enough sun in the UK.
Correct. So, I was going to say, in the UK, 80% of the population, I believe, is deficient.
Yeah, absolutely. And then again, and so yeah, your cholesterol is high, depending on what sort of food intake you have. Because of an Asian, my wife makes a very beautiful, scrumptious food, full of oil. We change the oil now to olive oil, 100% virgin oil. So we are making changes on those things. So they are saying, yeah, that's where you started to put a more thought process. We are not getting younger. We are getting to the next age, and things are going to come into your body. What you take in have a remnant effect on your body, not in the right now, but later on time. So as you mentioned, you know, everything has to be portioned to as 9 portions of vegetables you started to have, and is the discipline, correct? Is a discipline, and supplements have to happen. I used to have supplements like vitamin D and a couple of other things, and immune system with the vitamin C, extra vitamin C and everything in my body. So this is important. And again, it's all about educating people, listening and understanding and making sure that your health comes first, nothing else.
Yeah, I agree. And your story is interesting. And especially someone like yourself that's generally healthy and you already understand all these principles, to have those aches and wonder why is really frustrating. But that's the experience that millions of people are having right now. And that's why, in my opinion, supplements are necessary. I know there's plenty of experts out there who claim that they're not. And my answer to them is always the same. I say, great, I have a lab. You go take samples, send them into the lab, and then let's have this argument. We don't need to discuss this. If you're right, it's going to come back and show you have no deficiencies. And then great, you win the argument, and I want to know how you're eating. But you'll be the first one ever. There's good. So I'm going to send you a couple bottles of Mimi's Miracle Multi and Mimi's Miracle Minerals, which is our vitamin minerals combination. Sure. And I'd love for you, 1,000 IUs of vitamin D in the best quality form. And so I'll send those to you after, sure. And you try
those. Thank you very much. Let's continue.
Okay. Next one is move your body every day. You've mentioned a couple times about aging, and you know, over time in our lifetimes, Sam, the information on exercise has been completely wrong for a very, very long time. We're only now getting good exercise science, where we're starting to understand really, really well how often we should exercise, what types of exercise we should do. There's all kinds of misunderstandings about exercise. Let me give you one right now. Seeing as we're in the midst of COVID at the moment, many people are concerned about their immune system. It's one of the things they're working on. And they've heard that if you exercise, you boost your immune system. That's absolutely true. But did you know if you exercise too much, you're depleting your immune system? Mm-hmm. There is a balance. Again, the middle way. So what I'm trying to get people to do is to exercise 7 days a week. Now, I'm not talking to 20-year-olds here. I'm talking generally, my audience is probably similar to your audience. These are people that are growing up, a little more mature, had some life experience. They've tried various diets, tried various types of exercise. and they may be hitting the age where they got a few more aches and pains. They're finding they don't recover quite as fast as they used to recover, et cetera. So these are the kind of issues my audience is dealing with. What I'm telling them is, I can't tell a 20-year-old to work on their mobility because they don't care. They're interested in taking a picture and putting it on Instagram, and they just want to look really hot, right? That's their mindset, right? But I can talk to an older, more mature person and say, look, you've been around the block. You now look ahead and see people at 70 years old who are in a wheelchair and realize that that could be you unless you make changes now that would lead up to that. So all of a sudden, you hit a certain age where you start to appreciate the exercise outside of the gym. All of a sudden, you realize that that walking 10,000 steps a day is actually a really great thing. Maybe we should try that more often. You understand that mobility, flexibility, the movement and range of motion in the ankles, knees, hips, shoulders becomes more and more important. And if you don't take care of those things, you start to have pain. You start to not be able to do those more common exercises that you need to do. So what I challenge people to do is really think about their goals. Too many people ask about what exercise they should do and get answers before anyone says, what's your goal? What's important to you? So we got to start there. Everyone listening right now should be saying, well, you know, before we design an exercise plan, what is it you're trying to achieve? Now, for me, I'm very interested in longevity. We've mentioned that a few times. Mm-hmm. A healthy 100. If I'm going to be 100, I want to be healthy.
Absolutely.
So longevity is becoming more and more important. Mobility, I've mentioned, that flexibility and ability to move your body so that when you get out of a car, you don't twist your knee and now you're out of commission for 6 weeks, right? Going up the stairs. You know, many of the common accidents as people get older are doing mundane things like bending over to pick up a box. And so being able to go into a deep squat, being able to lift something over your head that's heavy and put it in a cabinet, all these things come from mobility. Mobility is different than flexibility. Flexibility is range of motion. Mobility is the ability to use your range of motion to do things. It's more of an active premise. Mm-hmm. Strength is critical. Both men and women need to maintain their strength as long in their life as they can. Women who don't maintain their strength are highly likely to get osteoarthritis as they get older. For men, if they don't keep up their strength, they're going to lose their testosterone faster and their overall drive. Testosterone is not just a sex hormone and a strength hormone. It's an overall confidence. It's what makes many men feel good and confident in that they can accomplish things. It's mental as well as physical. And so, and back to what I was have said all the way along, all of these need to be applied age and gender specific. So we determine who we are, how much we weigh, what our goals are, where we're currently at, and then think through all the elements of fitness, mobility, strength, endurance, longevity. What am I missing? There's several, right? So think of all the areas of health that are important to you and then work out a plan. And then you don't go heavy every day. When I say 7 days a week, some of those are light. Some of them are yoga. Some of them are calisthenics, right? So just work into your plan where you have some form of movement every single day and even throughout the day. I love the new new technology we're all wearing, right? Whether you have an Apple Watch or a Fitbit, doesn't matter. Any device, even just what's in your phone often, if it's in your back pocket, it's counting your steps.
Yes.
My watch tells me every hour, if I haven't stood up, my watch says time to stand. Should be up for a minute and a half per hour. We not sitting all day long, right? Ideally, I usually take my dog for a 20-minute walk halfway through the day. So I'm starting to ramble, so I'm going to put it back to you. But basically, the idea is exercises daily.
It's important to have a flexibility or making sure there is a time for you to do a small exercise, whether it's walking around the block, whether it's moving your hands, moving your fingers, moving your toes, moving anything of your part. Because if you are going to sit in one place, you're going to stagnate. It's like iron. If you leave it iron in one place, what's going to happen? It's definitely going to go with a rust. And one is going to get rusty. You're not going to make it better, because you need to recreate, like polish it and remove all the rust and then repaint it. And your hip needs to be moved. Your knees needs to be moved. Everything has to be moved. Otherwise, you will be suffering, not anybody else. And you will be coming up with the messages saying that, oh, I always have a back pain. I always have a knee pain. I always have this. And so how much time you spend on walking, or how much time you spend on doing some exercise? Oh, no, I don't do any exercise. So how are you going to create a flexibility of movement in your body if you're not doing anything like
that? Excellent points. And I just want to hit on a couple of things you said, two points off what you said. One, about the iron analogy, I really like that. Our body is made to move. It's made to move all the time on a regular basis. Two, that person who tells you, I don't do any exercise, they do. But what they don't understand is that they think exercise means you got to put on your exercise outfit. You got to go to the gym. You got to build up a sweat, and that's exercise. And I don't do that enough. Well, the fact is, it's back to what you said. There's a thing called trigger workouts. Mm-hmm. And you talked about simple movement, walking around the block. It actually matters. It is exercise. This is the part we have to convince people of. You are moving. You're doing the stairs. How about just go down and back up one more time? What about if every time that you leave your office today to do anything, you do 10 squats and 10 push-ups? What about if at lunch, instead of watching YouTube, you go for a walk with a coworker or your spouse? Most of us are working from home at the moment. Don't know when people will listen to this podcast. Hopefully we'll be through the worst of coronavirus fairly soon. But understand that you're probably doing more than you think. And oftentimes it's just a matter of pouring gas on the fire. If you're walking, walk more. Park your car far away. See, again, we got to convince people these things actually do matter. And so you just have to do more of them. Now, for the most part, though, Sam, we do need people to be more intentional. Ideally, we do want people to wake up in the morning and exercise. Again, that doesn't mean you have to get dressed up in your exercise clothes. What if you did, you know, 20 squats and 10 push-ups first thing out of bed in whatever you are sleeping in, right? It's not a problem, right? If that's all you did, that would be a wonderful improvement to a sedentary lifestyle. So think through your goals. Think where you want to be in 20 years. Think through what type of plan would really work for you. And for heaven's sake, do something you like. I talked about rowing this morning. I don't like a treadmill. So guess what? I don't do a treadmill.
I can see the rowing machine behind you. So that's an amazing thing. And one thing which I want to include over here is it looks like when people say, oh, I'm going to the gym, or gym only, workout only happen in the gym. That's also a misconception we have put into our system. Because if I don't go to the gym, it means I don't do exercise. Well, you are doing exercise. You are getting up from your bed. You are going to the loo. You are going up and down. You are walking out for your car. And there are a lot of things happening around you. But you have this fixation in your head because you are seeing these subliminal messages coming in. Oh, you go to the gym. That's where you're going to be workout. If you don't go to the gym, you are not doing any exercise. See? And that's what happens. Again, I said to a lot of my clients that you should have a buddy system. You know, you need to have somebody to say, okay, let's do it together. Two is better than one person, because one person will always going to say, I'm not feeling well. Oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I'm lethargic. Oh, somebody else is going to be saying, come on, get up. Let's go for a walk. Come on, get up. Let's do this. Come on, get up. If you have accountability, you will actually going to love those things. If you're going to be doing by your own self, you're not going to say, oh, well, a couple of drinks, no problem, I'll do next day extra.
Yeah. Yeah. And let me go back to the mindful thing here too. I alluded to it earlier, but I just want to say it one more time. Do everything, including your exercise, slowly and mindfully. Again, within reason. If you're, I did a race this morning on the machine, that had to be fast, but mindfully. You can go fast mindfully, you can go slow mindfully, but maybe change your mindset. So first of all, whatever you've decided to do for your exercise, don't do it to get it out of the way and check it off the list. Change your mindset and think to yourself, I'm going to exercise now, and I'm going to focus really, really carefully on this movement. Let's say it's an air squat. The air squat is a wonderful movement. For those people that hit the gym and hit the squat rack, they might think, oh, that's not much of a workout. Okay, do 100 then. And can you do a squat to your ankles, right? Can you do a full squat, full range of motion, feet turned out a little bit, knees pronated, turned out a little bit, all the way down, all the way up, do 100 in a row. That's a phenomenal workout, but do them all really, really, really mindfully. Many people, their knees are in the wrong position. Their hips are in the wrong position. They have the wrong shoes. Do them in your bare feet. Try that sometime, because heels put your knee and your hip in a bad position. And so not only if you have trouble exercising, trust me, this may sound counterintuitive, but do it very mindfully and a little slower and focus on the movements. Don't do more weight than you have the strength to do. Do everything with perfect form. I had a really interesting experience, Sam. A few years into meditation, maybe my second year, I was introduced to walking meditation. And for those of you who don't know, walking meditation typically is done very, very slowly. We're talking about a few minutes to get across this small room I'm sitting in, okay? And you can do a little bit faster than that too. There's nothing like a meditative walk where you're out walking in nature very slowly. Well, when I started to walk very slowly, I quickly discovered my walking gait was not very good form. I was a heel striker. I was kind of pounding my heels. When I walked quickly, I didn't have very good form. And so I was shocked because I've done marathons. I've done triathlons. I've done thousands and thousands of running races, mostly with poor form and didn't even know it, right? And so again, by doing things very, very slowly and mindfully, we do them better. And enjoy them more.
Absolutely. Can't say more about that. The more you be present in the moment, the more you're going to enjoy it. Because if you are not present in the moment, you are somewhere else. The act is mechanical, is robotic.
Yeah.
And it's not going to, it will give you 20% of what you expected to be 100% at that moment. So that's a great insight. And so what's the next step?
The last one is sleep. Point number 7 is sleep. All of these things we've talked about, exercising, eating, stopping eating after 6 o'clock, the nutrition we have in our body, the water that we're drinking, all of this comes together during the 7 to 9 hours that we lie in our bed. And during that time, if you implemented all the other 6 principles, your body has digested its food and your melatonin hormone has risen naturally from when you ate that last meal to become drowsy and help you fall asleep. All of your hormones are reset during the night. Your body now has no food in your stomach. And so it's able to work on pathogens, carcinogens, and blood sugar metabolism. All of your metabolism is cleansing your body and repairing your body from the exercise that you did. You wake up in the morning feeling great, full of energy, ready to exercise. So all the principles come together during the night when you sleep. And for too long in Western society, we've considered sleep expendable. We've praised those hardworking entrepreneurs or go-getters who get up early and go to bed late. Like, that's a real virtue, right? But those days are over. We all know now, if you haven't heard it, you're hearing it for the first time. Those days are over. And that is not the way to have an abundant life. It's not the way to be healthy. It's not the way. It doesn't matter if you do all these other things. If you don't get a good night's sleep, your body is not going to process them all properly, and you're not going to be at your best. And one more tip, get a good bed, for heaven's sake. We will spend a third of our lives on a mattress. And it is so worth it to be very, very intentional about the bed that you sleep on. If you spend a few thousand dollars or maybe £1,000 in the UK, £1,500, that might sound exorbitant. But guess what? Save up your money. Those of you who can afford it, go out, find the best possible quality beds, get the best possible one you can afford. And in 6 months, you write me an email and tell me how your life is better because of that very, very expensive bed. I promise you, you will, because you don't know what you don't know.
Absolutely. No, I completely agree with you, because sleep deprivation has humongous effect in your life, on your body, on your decisions, on the way you speak to people. Because if you are cranky, if you haven't had a proper sleep, the words, the way you communicate with people, it comes as you are shouting at them. Even though intentionally you are not shouting, but you are shouting. Because these are all combined together, because you have so much chronic, then you started to get chronic fatigue. Not realizing that because of the sleep deprivation, you're not having good food. You're not eating on time. You're sitting at your desk like 6-7 hours. When you get up, you just go through the loo and come back and sit again for another 6-7 hours. So you are killing yourself. Your bones are becoming very fragile inside your system. And your body started to think, well, we are stagnated. We need a shift. So universe give you a shift, which will give you a push in terms of a heart attack or angina problem or something like that. And you go into the hospital and your doctor says, mate, what you've been doing? You're not doing any exercise. You're not doing anything on your body and this and that. That was the first sign. And if you are not going to listen to the universe, you will have another one and another one. And the fourth time, you will be dead. So I would say, you know, what you have mentioned in these seven areas, they are very key points. And key points has to be processed and followed it through. And it is that what you have mentioned. These are the key principles. These are the key principles. And if somebody will follow it through, I look at it myself right now, what you have mentioned. The mindfulness is the area, which is also my very in high number, which I look at it. And again, the area of breathing, area of drinking water, mindfully eating your food, not eating any junk food, any food after 6 o'clock. These are things we all know. Even my age people should know all of those things. But because we are surrounded by so many things, and our internet or our TVs have this time zone at 9 o'clock. They put this indulgence with food ads on your TV. And even though you are not hungry, you look at that and it says, I'm craving for my ice cream. I will go and get some ice cream. Honey, do you want some ice cream? Okay, I'll get some ice cream for you. So that's what is, again, you have to have accountability of all those sort of things. And that's what I say, because it's, I think, you know, you've been working on this industry, and you've been positioned about your way you articulate it, and you say, you know what, I want to be 100 to see my grandchildren. This is your goal, and you're working on it. How many people I have heard and say, you know, my health is my wealth. And today I was talking to somebody on the TV interview. I said, you know, health is your wealth. If you don't look after yourself, who is going to look after you? Yeah. You can give a lot of lectures to everybody that, oh, you should look after yourself, you should do this, you should do that. And if you are not doing yourself that justice, then finish. Who is going to look after you? Nobody.
Yeah, and we're dealing with all kinds of issues here, Sam. Part of the problem is the way people were raised. They feel like however they were raised was the right way. Some people, I have a friend who helped a woman lose 100 pounds. He's a health professional. And she was a young woman and was so thrilled to lose this 100 pounds because she'd been obese since being a child. And she was so excited. She was a college student. She was so excited to go home and surprise her mother with her weight loss. And she got home and her mother opened the door and said, "Oh, honey, you look sick. Let's feed you." And it just deflated her. And she binge ate with her mother. She was raised to be obese. And she gained weight back, but she came back from that. I think it was a Christmas vacation. She came back, she was feeling terrible. She went back to my friend. She told him the story and he said, "I'm so sorry, but let's work on this again." But these are the types of things that many people deal with. And so it's not easy. It's not easy to tell someone to change their life. All of us want to change our life. But I'm hoping some of these principles for people that find any of them difficult, again, I would ask them, go back to your why. Start with your why. Why do you want to have good health? And establish some goals. If you don't have goals, then you'll eat whatever you want, whenever you want. There's no reason to go to the gym. You can just let things happen as they will over time, and slowly, one increment at a time, you will lose your health and unfortunately could become that person in a wheelchair well before you want to or need to. And so, Sam, I talk about the law of easy things. The law of easy things is that easy things are easy to do and they're easy not to do. That's the way it works. It is easy today to have good health. Easy. Follow these seven things. No problem. It's not hard. The next time you can eat slowly and mindfully. Everyone listening can do that. Easy to do and easy not to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
But those are the decisions you make now that determine where you end up later on.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dave, for sharing your wisdom, sharing those seven principles. I think people who are going to be listening to this, they're going to have a great insight about looking after themselves. Tell my audience how they can connect and with you. I will be putting some links on this podcast, but just tell us that people can connect with you how.
Great. Well, they can actually connect with me very directly because I do free 20-minute consultations with people. These are not sales pitches at all. I'm a certified health coach. And I love to help people. My business does just fine without me having to sit down and pitch someone on anything. It's not that way. No pressure. If you'd like a 20-minute session to just run things by me, ask me some questions, I'd absolutely love to do that without no obligation. That's at dirobi.com, D-I-R-O-B-I.com. Mm-hmm. Book a session with Dave, free 20 minutes. No pressure, just fun. You and I will just chat and I will absolutely enjoy it thoroughly. Next, there's a lot of resources and apps and all kinds of fun things I use to help myself use these principles. And I'm really a geek. I love technology. I love apps. I love modern science to help me reach my goals. And so I've created a cheat sheet, by the time this is published, it'll be on the website. I'm putting the final touches on it, but by the time you listen, you can go to dirobi.com, click on the resources page. Mm-hmm. It'll be a resource and it'll be called something like podcast cheat sheet or podcast notes or the name of these principles. We call it the Dirobi Undiet. So just look for it. I'll describe it the best I can. It's something you'll be able to print a one pager and put on your fridge that will give you the principle and the different apps and ways to make the principle as easy as possible. So I'll have that there for people.
Excellent.
As well.
Excellent. So thank you very much, Dave, for being my guest on Chai with Sam Dosa. And I will be putting all the information what Dave has mentioned over here on the podcast description. So get in touch with Dave. If you are definitely looking to be healthy, even in this COVID situation or beyond that, it's not about a short term is about the longevity, as Dave mentioned, is the longevity of your health. Because without the longevity, as we know that the life expectancy has reached 200 and 110 now. So if you are thinking of that having a good life when you are going to be on that age level to fulfill yourself, then get in touch with Dave. Simply to know that following the 7 principles will give you an added boost. And as he mentioned, supplementing with extra, which is we are missing in our bodies. I was not aware of this chromium, which he mentioned about one of the enzymes. And there were a couple of others, which we take it as granted that we have everything, until we will find out in our blood test that there are a lot of deficiencies happening in our body. So get in touch and connect with him and know more about your own self, because is the only thing is your health is your wealth. If you don't have health, you have nothing. So thank you very much for being on this podcast, listening to us, and hopefully see you again. Thank you very much. Bye for now.